السلام عليكم. Welcome all of you here tonight to this dialogue between Christianity and Islam. First, I have a few announcements. There could be no recording here at the podium. No recorder should be brought up here. Instead, this lecture will be recorded, and there are cassettes available and also videotapes available. And if all of you have read this announcement sheet, also available are a video cassette of the Jimmy Swaggart Ahmed Didat debate from Baton Rouge, Monday. Also in this sheet, you'll find plenty of space, hopefully, to take notes and to write questions. We're going to welcome written questions, and also anyone who would like to come up at the question time after the lecture is completed can come up here to this microphone and ask any question. One question each, and they can have it answered. And if you have more questions than that, you can submit it in written questions to the ushers who will come and collect them after the lecture, and inshallah, all those questions will be answered. To introduce our speaker, Ahmed Didat. Ahmed Didat is the director of the Islamic Propagation Center International of Durban, South Africa. He's a scholar of the Christian Bible who has been engaged for these last 40 years in Christian-Muslim dialogue. The purpose of his visit to the United States was to meet Jimmy Swaggart in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where they engaged in a very friendly debate. His itinerary here in the United States, after Baton Rouge, he went to Tucson, Arizona for a debate, then to Lawrence, Kansas, and after this debate, this lecture, he'll be going to Kansas City, Missouri. Mr. Didat is the author of many booklets, for example, Christianity in Islam, Jesus Christ in Islam, is the Bible, God's Word, Muhammad in the Bible, and the God that never was. Mr. Didat has attracted a lot of attention, especially from American scholars. He's met in debate such scholars as Professor Simpkins of the Johnson Bible College of Johnson, Tennessee, Dr. Joshua McDowell, Floyd E. Clark, Dr. Anish Rauch, Jimmy Swaggart, and Dr. Robert Douglas. Before the start of this lecture, we're going to have a reading from the Muslim sacred book, the Holy Quran. dispute not with the people of the book, save in the fairer manner, except for those of them that do wrong, and say, we believe in what has been revealed unto us, and what has been revealed to you. Our God is your God. Our God and your God are one, and to him we have surrendered. Even so, we have revealed to thee the book. Those to whom we are giving the book believe in it. And some of these believe in it, and none deny it our signs but the unbelievers. Not before didst thou, O Muhammad, recite any book, or inscribe it with thy right hand. For then those who follow falsehood would have doubted. Nay, rather it is signs, clear signs, in the breast of those who have been given knowledge, and none denies our signs but evildoers. Now I'd like to have everyone welcome our speaker, Mr. Ahmed Hijaz.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. Mr. Chairman and brethren, the word you heard from my lips were a prayer from the Holy Quran, the prayer of the Holy Prophet Moses. I was not trying to hypnotize or mesmerize you in any way, I can assure you that. This was a prayer uttered by the Holy Prophet Moses, according to the Holy Quran, when he was commissioned to go before Pharaoh and ask that his people be free. Moses, in trepidation, he cries to God. Qala, he said, Rabbi Srehli Sadri, O my Lord, expand for me my breath, meaning make me brave. Qala Rabbi Srehli Sadri, Yasirli Amri, and make my path easy for me. Wahlul Uqdatan min Lisani, and remove the impediment from my speech. Yafqahu Qawli, that they may understand what I have to say. So I feel that I have more need for such a prayer than Moses, because in communication there are so many barriers, so many impediments in speech, and one of the greatest of impediments is psychological. You see, when one comes from another world, another philosophy, another ideology, addressing another of a different concept and ideas and background, the prejudice is there. And I pray to God that may he remove these impediments between us in communicating the knowledge about God and his way. The subject, as has been advertised, is Jesus Christ in Christianity and in Islam. If I were to short circuit or quicken the explanation with regards to Christianity and Jesus Christ, I could quote you from some of the Christian missionary publications. The evangelists, the preachers, you see, they always talk about the three lemmas. It's a new word I came across in one of your publications, Christian missionary publications. Three lemmas. I never heard of the word before. But what they're talking about is three L. Three L. This is Jesus Christ. Either he was a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Have you heard that before? Either he is a liar, or a lunatic, or Lord. This is the Christian position. The bulk of Christendom, they say that he is Lord, that he is God. We will go into the details of the matter, but they put it to others, even to the Muslims. Was Jesus a liar? No Muslim can ever say he was, because we believe that Jesus Christ was one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe. We believe that he was a Messiah. We believe that he was born miraculously, which many modern-day Christians do not believe today. And we believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and the lepers by God's permission. So we can't say he was a liar. Was he a lunatic? No. You see, he was no lunatic. He was the wisest of men. Was he mad? We question that. You see, the Christian is giving us no alternative. He's like cornering us. Either we accept this or that. It's black or white. You see, what about in between the two, black and white, that endless shades of gray? Do you see them at all? I said, look, why can't he be a Messiah? Why can't he be a mighty messenger of God? Why must he be a liar, a lunatic, or God? Now, what is the Muslim position? You at the back, are you all able to hear me all right? So, the Muslim now, what he says is this, in the Holy Quran, whatever I say, it is backed up by my own holy book. It's not that I'm trying to placate you or trying to curry favor with my non-Muslim brothers and sisters in the audience, that if I say a few good words about Jesus Christ, maybe you in turn might say a few good words about Muhammad. That if I scratch your back, you might scratch my back. No, I assure you, that is not the reasoning behind what I'm telling you now, what I'm going to tell you. The Holy Prophet Jesus is mentioned in the Quran, this holy book of Islam, the Holy Quran, is mentioned in this book by name no less than 25 times. By name. The name Muhammad in this book, supposed to be the book brought about by Muhammad, concocted by Muhammad, the name Muhammad only occurs 5 times. 4 times as Muhammad and 1 time as Ahmad, an alternative name for Muhammad. 5 times. Jesus Christ, 5 times the number, the name Muhammad occurs. Isn't it strange? The man who brings the book, his own name is only mentioned 5 times. And his opponent, his opposition, mentioned 25 times. If there is such a thing, as his opponent, his opposition. No, he says there's no opposition. These are, there is a brotherhood of prophets, and they belong to the same brotherhood. The birth of Jesus Christ is mentioned in this book, the narration about the Annunciation and the birth. The name of Muhammad's birth, not of his birth, but where he was born is not here. Where he died is not here. His father's name is not there, his mother's name is not there, his wife's name is not there, his daughter's name is not there. Amazing, amazing book this is. Look at this. An encyclopedia of 1,920 pages. And in this book, the person who's supposed to have written this book, his own place of birth, where he died, no mention. His dear friends, Abu Bakr, not there, Omar, not there, Osman, not there, Ali, not there. Amazing book this is. It's unlike any other book that you have known or you'll ever know. A unique book, unique from every point of view. There is a chapter in this book, and the name of the chapter is Surah Maryam. Surah means chapter, Maryam means Mary. In honor of the name of the mother of Jesus Christ. In this book. There is no such thing in the Christian Bible. This one I have in my hand here is the authorized King James Version of the book of the Bible, which has 66 books inside. It's a library or encyclopedia of 66 books into one book form. The Roman Catholics, they have in their Bible, I have it here, this is the Roman Catholic version of the Bible. It has 73 books. 7 more than the King James version inside there. But out of the 66 of the Protestants and 73 of the Roman Catholics, there is not a book entitled Mary or Jesus. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and on, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans,
Philippians, Galatians, Corinthians, there's no Mary.
Here, the chapter in the book called Surah Maryam, chapter Mary. Starting or beginning at the beginning of the birth of Jesus, so in this book, this translation, it has an index. At the end of the book, there's a very comprehensive index. What do you want to know? You want to know something about Jesus? That's the subject of this evening. So you open a J, just like a dictionary, and it said, now let's see what it says about Jesus, about my hero, about my Lord, in inverted commas, about my Lord. So, I'm reading to you from the index some of the titles under the heading Jesus. Jesus, a righteous prophet, is a true prophet of God, says the book, the Quran. Not my word, this is what the Holy Book of Islam says. He's a righteous prophet. His birth is described in two places. Chapter 3, verses 45 to 47, chapter 19, verses 22 to 33. He's apostle to Israel, his disciples, taken up like Adam, not crucified, no more than apostle, not God, not son of God. His message and miracle. He prayed for table of Zion. He taught no false worship. His disciples declared themselves Muslims. His mission limited. His followers have compassion and mercy. His disciples as God's helpers, as a sign, prophesied Ahmad, which is another name for Muhammad. These are some of the headings, subtitles, and then the topic Jesus. Now, so let's begin at the beginning, the birth of Jesus. In chapter 3, known as Surah Ali Imran, the family of Imran, Imran comes with the word the father of Moses, the family of Imran. Chapter 3, verse 42, to the 3. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ Behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ That God Almighty has chosen thee and purified thee, chosen thee above the women of all nations. Now such an honor is not to be found given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, even in the Christian Bible. That Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was a woman chosen above the women of all nations. Ya Maryam ibnati li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'ar rak'een. Says, O Mary, worship thy Lord devoutly. Prostrate thyself and bow down in prayer with those who bow down. Dhalika min amba'i l'hayri, mi'ihi l'hayta. So this is part of the tidings of the things unseen, which we reveal unto thee, O Apostle, by inspiration. Where does Muhammad get his knowledge from? About Jesus, he was an illiterate man, a man who didn't know how to read or write. Where did his knowledge come from about what he's saying? So God Almighty assures him and through him assuring us that this is the revelation of God given to him. His knowledge is from God. The Christian missionary, the evangelist, the preacher, he says, no, Muhammad concocted the book. Muhammad wrote the book. This is his own creation. He said, look, he was illiterate. An ummi. He said, yes, maybe. But you see, even illiterate people, they can be geniuses. Man who has had no formal education, learning, he can be a genius, he can be a great orator, he can be a great speaker. So why should he not have dictated? You know, his own creation. He must have come across other, heard about other things, spoken about Jesus and the prophet, and from whatever he heard, he can rehash the whole thing in a far more beautiful language than what he has been hearing. Why could he not have dictated it? We Muslims have to agree that that is a possibility. He could have dictated it. But to prove to you that it was not so, I want you, the audience, to agree with me on just one point. I don't want you to accept him as a veritable messenger of God, true prophet of God. No, no. It's asking too much. The only one little request I make from you is to admit that Muhammad was an Arab. That's all. Is there any difficulty? Anybody, please tell me if there's a difficulty in you accepting that Muhammad was an Arab. He was not an Indian. He was no Eskimo. He was no Greek or Roman. He was an Arab. Any difficulty? Any difficulty? I want to know from you all. No difficulty. That is it. Thank you very much. Now this Arab, now you analyze, this Arab in the first instance is telling other Arabs. If he wrote the book, if he uttered these words, then he's telling other Arabs. He wasn't talking to the Malaysian, Indonesian, African. No, he was talking to the other Arabs, his own people. And he's telling the other Arabs that Jesus, I'm sorry, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was chosen above the women of all nations. Not his own wife, or mother, or daughter, whom we Muslims believe, Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, will be the leader of the women of paradise. That's our belief. But her name is even not mentioned in the book. And he is going out of his way to tell his people that a Jewess, she was chosen above the women of all nations. I'm asking, please, account for that. Why would an Arab go out of his way to provoke his own people and go and honor a woman of his opposition, mother of his opposition, if they were such a thing? Telling them that not my wife, not my daughter, not my mother, but Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's an account for that. If he wrote the book, why would he do such a silly thing? From the worldly point of view, it's silly. Because to me, and to you, to me, my mother, there's no better woman in the world has ever been than my mother. Or my wife, or my daughter. Why yours? Why Jimmy Sagar? You know, my opponent in a debate on Monday night. Why his? Unless I'm forced, I'm commanded by higher source to say that Jimmy Sagar's mother or his wife Frances is the best woman in the world. In the sight of God, she is the immaculate one. Who would make me to say that? Only God can force me to say that. On my own, never. My mother, my wife, my daughter. You agree? This man is honoring Mary, the mother of Jesus. The narration continues from chapter 3, now verse 35. It says, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ. Behold, the angel said, O Mary, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ. That God Almighty gives you glad tidings, good news of a word from Him. اسمه المسيح. His name will be the Messiah. Translated Christ. اسمه المسيح. وعيسى بن مريم. Jesus the son of Mary. وجيها في الدنيا والآخرة. Held in honor in this world and in the hereafter. Jesus. Held in honor in this world and in the hereafter. ومن المقربين. And of the company of those nearest to God. As the Christian would put it, sitting on the right hand of God. He would say, yes, metaphorically. God hasn't got a right hand and a left hand. See? He is a spiritual being. He's not sitting on some chair, glorified chair. What do you say, throne? If somebody sitting on his right side and somebody sitting on his left side, and somebody sitting in front of him, somebody sitting behind him, there is no front and back, left and rear. Nothing in the sight of God. So it is. In the sense, we Eastern people, when we say the man on my right hand, meaning my advisor, my prime minister, on my right hand, he should be sitting on my left hand. But he's my right hand man. It's figurative, metaphorical, it's not literal. It is. Holding this in respect in this world and in the hereafter. Roman and the Father. وَيُسَلِّمُ النَّاسَ. And he will speak to the people. Who is Jesus? He will speak to the people in Mahdi wa Qahlan, in childhood and in maturity. One of the same, and he shall be of the company of the righteous. When this good news is given to Mary, the mother of Jesus, she responds. She says, قَالَتْ رَبِّي أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدٌ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرٌ. She said, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? Physically, sexually. The angel gives the reply. قَالَ فَذَلِكِ اللَّهُ يَخْلِقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That even so, Allah creates what He wills. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا. Whenever He decrees a matter, فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ. He merely says it, be and it is. For God to create is an act of will. Whatever He wants to create, He wills it and the thing comes into being.
for him to create Eve without a human father, just like that. For him to create millions of Jesuses without father and without mother, just like that. But who's going to birth these little Jesuses? The mother. Jesus needed a mother. So God gave her the good news, and it is so was Jesus Christ born. This Muslim belief, without any proof from the outside, without any convincing from the Christian, we believe, because we know this mighty messenger of God, Muhammad, had no reason to lie. Why would he tell us all these things? If he had created this religion of Islam, if he had concocted it, surely he must have that imagination that sooner or later my followers will have come into conflict with the Christians. And if there is a conflict, let me give them some strong weapon to deal the Christians with, how to subdue them. And one of the strongest of weapons is religion. It's far better than philosophy and psychology and logic and all these things, far better, far superior to all these weapons, tools, in an argument or a debate is ridiculous. Laugh the guy off, man. Laugh him off. Very easy. You send him with an idea that a Jew dwelt 2,000 years ago, she heard some voices, and thereon she became pregnant, and she gave birth to a child. You want me to believe that? I'm asking you. I said, you know, you have a sister. You know her children. From childhood, you grew together. Maybe you were twins, one boy, one girl. And you are thinking like-minded, and you know how immaculate your sister is. She never spoke a lie in her life, as far as you know. And this sister of yours is telling you, she says, you know, brother, you know, I have some voices. And now, this is the 6th month now, I'm telling a baby. Now it's going on to 9th month now, a baby. You believe her? You? Can you believe this year, 2,000 years ago, she said she heard voices? Naturally not. They said, look, your mother, in the absence of your father, has gone away for many years. She says, you know, she dreamt of your father. And now she's carrying a baby. And she's making him a dream, in the dream. And now she's pregnant and she's carrying a baby. Your mother! I said, you believe her? Would you believe your own mother? She said, no. Then how can you believe this dear? 2,000 years ago. I laugh you. Laugh you to scorn. And there is no better way. Come on, come on, come forward now, explain to me how. No, the Muslim can't do that. He can't, he dare not do that, because if he accepts this book as the book of God, God tells him that so is war. No argument. We say, Amanna Saddakna. We hear and we affirm. So we are made to affirm that Jesus Christ was one of the mightiest messengers of God. He was a great miracle worker. And the very first miracle attributed to him in the Holy Quran is to be found in Surah Maryam, that chapter Mary, in honor of the name of the mother of Jesus Christ. Chapter 19, verse 23. It tells us that after the Annunciation, you know, the good news was given to her, and she carried the babe, and when the time for childbirth came, around that time, she retired to a remote place in the east, alone. There's no Joseph the carpenter, and the stable, here. In the Quran, there's no Joseph the carpenter, and there's no stable, here. She retired to a remote place in the east, and after the birth of the child, she returned with the babe, that the Quran describes. فَأَتَتَ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. So at length she brought the baby to her people, carrying him in her arms. قَالُوا يَا مَرْيَمُ لَقَدْ جِئْتُ شَيْئًا فَرِيًّا. They said, O Mary, truly an amazing thing has thou brought. Stop! Knowing that she comes from a noble priestly family, she was a Levite, and coming from such a noble priestly family, يَا أُخْتَ هَارُونَ, O sister of Harun, a descendant from Moses and Aaron, they were Levites, and she's also a Levite, Mary. Ya ukhta Haruna, O sister of Harun, ma kana abuki imra'a sawin, wa ma kanat ummuki baghiya. So your father was not a man of evil, nor was a mother of women unsafe. They are insinuating, alleging, how is it that you brought this illegitimate child without a husband? what he should do. Where his heart is, in a mood to listen to her reasoning, to her telling me the story saying that I heard voices and I'm getting a babe, were there in a mood to listen to her? Of course not. Would you be, if you were then 2,000 years ago, would you listen to her? Nothing. What did she do? The only thing she knew was the child. She knew that this was no ordinary child. So, the Asharat Ilay, he merely pointed to the babe. In other words, asked him. So they say, قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَتِ الْمَحْدِ صَدِيًّا. Said, how can you talk to one who is a child in the cradle? An infant, a suckling. How can you talk to him? And by a miracle, says the Quran, Jesus spoke and defended his mother against an unbelieving audience. فَقَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So most certainly I am the servant of Allah. آتاني الكتاب. He has given me revelation. وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا. And he has made me a prophet. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي. وَجَعَلَنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا. He continues. He has made me kind to my mother. And not overbearing and miserable. فَسَلَامٌ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ. So peace be on me the day where I was born. وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ. The day where I die. وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. And the day that I shall be raised to life again. That was Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of God, says the Holy Quran. So I reaffirm that we believe in Jesus Christ as one of the mightiest messengers of God. We believe in his miraculous birth. We believe that he was the Messiah. We believe that he gave life to the dead by God's permission, and he healed those born blind and delivered by God's permission. We are going together. We, Muslims and the Christians, are going together. There are 1,200 million Christians in the world today, and 1,000 million Muslims. Over 2 billion people who believe in Jesus. And we are going together. Now comes the parting of the world. See, I would be a hypocrite if I keep on speaking, repeating, you know, all the other beautiful things that the Quran speaks about Jesus and close the meeting. I would be a hypocrite. I would be deceived. I have to now tell you that there is a parting of the way between you and me, between the Christian and the Muslim. And that is, the Muslim is made to say that Jesus Christ is not God. He is not God Almighty in human form. He is not God incarnate, God taking human form. And he is not the begotten Son of God. Metaphorically, we are all the children of God, the good and the bad. We are all the children. But physically, we say God does not begot. Because begotten is an animal act. It belongs to the lower inner functions of sex. And we are not to attribute such a quality to God. The Christian, in his infatuation, he goes out of his way to say, look, he is the veritable Son of God. God begot a Son. Jesus is the only begotten Son. Begotten, not made. That is what he says in his catechism. I have read them. The Anglican Catechism, the Roman Catholic Catechism, the Methodist Catechism, the Lutheran Catechism, in which we are told that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And it goes on, is begotten, not made. Don't make a mistake. It's not like Adam. Adam was made by God. Every dog, pig, and donkey was made by God. As such, he is the Lord, cherisher, sustainer, and evolver of all his creation. He is the father of everything, everybody. But no, Jesus is not like that. He was begotten, not made. And I have been asking English-speaking people. I said, excuse me, please. You see, English is a foreign language to me. I acquired this mapping of what I'm speaking to you now. By speaking, I'm sure I become a speaker. So I said, look, please, explain to me. When you say in your language, begotten, not made, what are you trying to emphasize? Please explain. And believe me, no Englishman worth the name Englishman has ever opened his mouth to me. I only want an explanation, what you're trying to tell me when you say begotten, not made. Begotten is an animal act. It belongs to the liver and the function of the sex. How can you attribute such a quality to God? I can
call one of these young men, sir, or some older than the young men. You know, I'm about twice the age of most of you. I'm 69. So any young man says, my son, do you mind if I call you my son? Would you mind? You object? No. So I call him my son. Maybe he takes a liking to me after the meeting, comes closer to me, invites me home for a cup of tea to meet my family, and I visit him, and somehow we are living close by, he visits me, coming and going, he calls me uncle, uncle, grandpa, grandpa, you know, his father, mother, everybody loves me, respects me, I call him my son, my son, my son. Every time I go to his house, I say, my son, where's son, my John, my son. So I go one day with some friends visiting him. I'm asking his mother, where's John, my son? I say, he's just gone to the shop. He's coming just now. Sit down. And he comes. Hello, John. He embraced my mother. Hello, John. So my companion, who doesn't know our relationship, is asking him, is he really your son? Maybe a mistress I might have checked, you know, his mother. Is he really your son? I said, no, you see this young man, he loves me like a father, like a grandfather, and I call him a son. How does he endear me? And nobody objects. His father doesn't mind, his mother doesn't mind, nobody minds. I said, no, it is out of love and feeling I have for him, I call him a son. But instead, if I said yes, he is my begotten son, you know the meaning changes. You understand English? I take it. Yes, he is my begotten son, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That he's a bastard. His father is not his father, I'm his father. I was responsible for procreating him. I'm swearing him in the most diplomatic language. He's my begotten son. He says, uncle, what did you say? He understands the meaning. Son, 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 he didn't mind. But now I'm saying, he's my begotten son. He says, uncle, what did you say? I said, no, I don't mean that. And yet I'm telling my companion, doesn't he look like my Jesus at home? My Jesus is at home. He said, doesn't he look like my Jesus? I said, yes. What am I saying? I'm putting salt into the wound that he is illegitimate. In a beautiful language. And I have been asking questions. English speaking people. I said, when you say begotten, not male, please explain to me what you are really trying to tell me. And I said, no Englishman has ever opened his mouth. It happened to an American. An American has the guts to tell me what it means. It happened to be in Durban. An American was on a tour of South Africa, and I happened to be a guide to the largest mosque in the southern hemisphere, which is in Durban. And I was guiding him, explaining to him what goes on in the mosque. And during the course of this discussion that was going on, somehow this subject cropped up, and I asked him this question. I said, begotten, not made. What do you mean, begotten? What does it mean? So he said, it's inspired by God. That's the term used in animal husbandry. You know, this bull sired that one, and this horse sired the other one. This dog, you know, his father was so-and-so, sired by this and sired by that. It is used in animal husbandry. Sired by God, I said, what? He said, no. I don't mean that. I'm only telling you what it means. And it means exactly that. Sired by God. Yes, it is to God. And animal nature, the lower animal functions of sex, the Muslim takes acceptance. The language that you're using, maybe you mean well. You are sincere. I'm not doubting your sincerity. But I say, the language is not befitting the majesty of God, that God begot a son. You say, it doesn't mean that. Then I say, why do you say that? Why are you creating unnecessary conflict between the 1,000 million Muslims and 1,200 million Christians? By using a term, you should say, you don't mean it. If you don't mean it, why say it? No, the Westerner has a system. You see, I don't know, my word, you know, my language seems at times, you say, look, this guy is too militant. I said, put him. You see, the Englishman, I know them very well. I don't know the Americans too well. This is only my second trip to the United States in 10 years. The Englishman, I'm constantly in touch with him. So the Englishman, you know, when I speak to him, what are you trying to mean by what you're saying? You see, he is the closest in the English situation. Somehow, let us come to the point. Begotten, not made. Now, this is one of the points of real difference between the Muslim and the Christian. In the Holy Quran, we are told
about God Almighty. He said, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He does not beget and is not begotten. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad, and there's nothing like him. He does not beget and is not begotten. Christian scripture, John 3:16. Every Christian with the name preacher, evangelist, Bible thumper, hot gospeler, call them what you like. They can't help using John 3:16. Invariable. If he wants to change a crime, to convert anybody, he must quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sacrificed his only begotten son. Muslim says, what are you talking about? What language are you using? Beware, be careful. You don't talk about God so loosely. You mean speaking people, you are so particular in the usage of language. If I enter into a contract with any Englishman, he takes me to a lawyer and he ties me up in language. In the contract, he says, I shall do such and such a thing. And there's a dispute and we go to court. So he said, I shall. I said, you will do such and such a thing. He said, no, I said, I shall. I didn't say I will. I can't see the difference between shall and will. But he put to the judge. He said, I said, I shall. I didn't say I will. And I lose the case. It's so particular. It's so good. It is language. But when it comes to religion, we talk anyhow. Any language is good enough. But Jesus is in love. Now there's a relationship between him and God. It's not a religion anymore. Christianity is not a religion. A system of codes and laws, ethics and morality. It's a relationship he has established. So he can say anyhow. Whatever he feels like, he's infatuated. Anything he can say, anything goes. So, this is me. You must be more particular, more precise than your usage of language. So this word begotten was getting stuck in missing phrase. Because we have been programmed that way. You don't talk about God like that. Here is it. It's in the Bible, my holy book. So I opened the book, the Roman Catholic version is there. I opened the book, the King James version is there. It's there, the word begotten. Now, they have come out, the Christians. They have come out with the RSV, the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. RSV. They are claiming that this RSV is going to the most ancient manuscript. These two here, they go to the ancient manuscripts. Ancient means 400 to 600 years after Jesus. Most ancient means 200 to 300 years after Jesus. So closer to the first, the more authentic. And they say they have discovered some 24,000 documents, manuscripts. 24,000 manuscripts of this gospel. 24,000 in Greek. The amazing thing is no two are identical. They don't tell you that. No two, 24,000, they are all varied. No two are identical. That's a challenge to the scholars as they come forward. Tell me that any two are identical. How did you pick up these Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, just like that. You pick it up like a hot spotlight. You just pick this. You like this one, you like that one, you like that one. Put it together, you create the book. Out of the 24,000, no two are identical. So, going to the most ancient manuscript, your scholars, they read, reread, and they find that the word begotten is not there. It's not there. In your manuscript, it's not there. So they took it out. They threw it out as a fabrication, as an adulteration. So here, RSV, brought about by 32 scholars of the highest eminence, but by 60 cooperating denominations, went to produce this book. The RSV, Revised Standard Version of the Bible, going to the most ancient manuscript, the most authentic of all Bibles in this Bible here. They threw it out, the word begotten, as a fabrication. Was it to please the Muslims? Did the Muslims threaten you? Because you know, if you don't take that word out, you're blaspheming against God. If you don't take that word out, we won't supply you oil anymore. Is that the reason? You know it's not. No Arabs threatened you. The Muslim world didn't threaten you. You have taken it out, and I say, you Muslims ought to take off our hats to you. Honest people. Honest people. You find a thing is a fabrication, you admit it's fabrication and expunge it.
pray. We had another problem with our Christian brother on the Trinity. You say God is one? He said, yes. I said, you say God is one. Yes, but you say Allah is the one and only. We believe in a Trinity. He is a triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Where do you get that from? He said, it's in my book. He said, where? So he opened the King James Version. He opened the BA Version of the Roman Catholic and all the other translations based on these two versions. And he opened at a place called First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7. Where it reads, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, God Almighty, the Word, standing for Jesus, the Word of God, the Quran says so, it is Kalima, the Word which God bestowed upon Mary, Word, standing for Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Clearest statement on the Trinity to be found in this encyclopedia called the Bible. Clearest statement. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So I look for it in the Bible, the most modern, up-to-date Bible, brought about by your scholars, 32 scholars of the highest eminence, backed by 50 cooperating denominations, and it's not here. What happened? They sweep out without any ceremony, as a fabrication, as an adulteration. See, it is that. You accuse the Muslim because you might not supply oil or what? Huh? Why did you throw it out? He said, no, it was not in the most ancient manuscript. This is an interpolation. People figured it in because they want to be better. Now, these are not our handiwork. I didn't do the job. By God, I didn't touch the Bible. I touched the Bible now. You know, whatever you tell me, I believe. The Christian, God's story. Whatever you tell me, I believe. I accept. So, the God is thrown out. Trinity is thrown out. You know, why did you throw it out? You know what? Look, this word Trinity is not to be found in the Bible. The word Trinity is not to be found. You'll never find the word Trinity in the Bible. In any version of the Bible, you have 100 different versions. In any version, the word Trinity is not there. The foundation of your faith is not there. In any book of the Bible. Jesus' word, millennium is not there, your own creation. Trinity, your own creation. Millennium, your own creation. Rapture, your own creation. Amazing. All these things, your name, bedrock of your belief, the terms that you are using are not to be found in any Bible. You created them. You use them and you exploit them. The word Trinity, however, is in the Quran. Amazing. You believe in the Trinity and it is not in any Bible. You believe in the Trinity, that word is in the Quran. You want the case? I quote you. You want the case? Get this book. And the key, you'll find Trinity, will tell you. Chapter 7, verse 7. Trinity. But what does it say about Trinity? It says, Wala taqulu salasa. Don't say Trinity. Don't believe in such things. No. Wala taqulu salasa. Don't say Trinity. Innahu khairan lakum. This is stop it, it will be better for you. Innam Allah ilahu wahid. So your God is one God. It's not three in one, it's not one in three. And he heeded the warning. It took a long time. 1,400 years he took you to do that. To realize that this is a fabrication. 1,400 years. This Quran, the Muslims are reading, reciting, telling, Wala taqulu salasa, Wala taqulu salasa. But they didn't deliver the message. But somehow God Almighty has delivered the message to you. That this is a fabrication. Throw it out, and you throw it out. I said, you must make the sake of our first. You must be honest. They have done a great job making your path easy. Here are now, you can search it, bishops, more than 50 all Anglican bishops. They say, you do not have to believe that Jesus is God. You don't have to believe. Your salvation doesn't depend on that. So you tell them that they are sellouts. So the Arabs bought them out. Your bishop takes it. What? $5,000? $10,000? You buy out all your bishops? You make it to renounce the divinity of Christ? And all the new people, that's cheap. Your religion, your faith, bishop, the faith terms of the church,
destiny. This is true. This is truth will come out. But prejudices are hard. The bishop, they are dragging the fish. I said, you're dragging the fish. Why don't you take a one big step like Armstrong? You know, when he landed on the moon. You know, this is one step for man and for humanity. I'm saying this is a beautiful expression. But why don't you take one big step? Get out of it. See, you have to now start reading it out. And the bulk of the people don't know what they're doing. They don't know what is happening. This book here, 1952, is the first published. RSV, Revised Standard Version. They also threw out the assumption. In the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the four Gospels, only two places the assumption mentioned. Assumption. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 24, verse 51. That Jesus ascended into heaven. That Jesus ascended into heaven. Only two places. Now they threw out Mark chapter 16, 9 to 20, thrown out as a fabrication. So out goes your ascension. 8, 9 to 20, the verses are thrown out. Here, here's the book printed by you people here. Printed by the Bible Society. The truth out of the fabrication. Ascension. So Luke chapter 24, verse 51 is not there. But the ascended in heaven is thrown out. So in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one place is the ascension mentioned, the bedrock. The greatest truth of Christendom is Christ going up into heaven, is thrown out as a fabrication. But, you know, some people do play the game. Yeah, look at this Bible. It's also RSV. Look at this. This is also RSV. Printed by the same printer. You can see. Same printer. One is a little tiny because this is near. This is 52, this is 71. So it's going to be a bit tiny more. But otherwise, same color, same everything. Page for page inside is also same. Page for page. But you find when I said, look, it is not in the RSV. Revised Standard Version, the ascension is thrown out. Though the Christians, the amazing thing, these scholars, in your manuscript, if it is the Word of God, it tells us, Matthew tells us that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Mark says Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Luke says that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. John says that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. Also, 100%, unanimous, that Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem. This is God Almighty dictating. Inspiring these authors to say, my son, in the Word of Thomas, wrote the donkey into Jerusalem. 100%. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Donkey, 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 donkey. Amazing. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry wrote the donkey into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. That's news. That is news. But Jesus in the heaven is not there in any one of these four books. I think it's taken out as a fabrication. So everything you're fabricating in your religion. What is it? What kind of religion is it? Fabrication? You threw them out? Said, no, I have an RSV and it's there. It's there. He said, where? He said, yeah, where? Look. He said, it's not it. Yes. Look, here it's taken out. Anybody wants to verify? So the meeting comes to me, I show you open and thrown out as a fabrication. Here, back again. What is this? Why did you put it back again? Nobody knows. You see, the layman will never know. Because the layman, he opens the book, whatever thing he starts using, open the book, it's what he wants, he uses it. He doesn't read the prophet. If scholars do that, preachers do that, evangelists do that, but when they get caught up, they won't tell the congregation. The game that the princes, the book, the revisers are playing, they won't tell you that. What James is being played, you know, he's catching fish and the fish is getting caught. Good luck, carry on. It's big business. It's one of the best of businesses in the United States. Start a church. I'm telling you. Sun Yung Lee, I heard it. He's no pastor. I'm telling you. He speaks, no pastor. This God, Swami Prabhupada, who started the Hare Krishna movement, no question. He's no question. is inside an ass. Listen, there's no such thing. Guru Maharaji, no such thing. Maharishi, no such thing. In truth, you know that? That they're all mimicking millions. They pray and they're being worshipped as God. People worship them in the United States as God, Father Divine. He must have been a brilliant man. He was an Afro-American or a Negro, what he used to call himself. Right. White people were also worshipping him. The blacks and the whites, they were worshipping as God. Anything goes in the United States. Why shouldn't I start a church of my own? You know, I also got the gift of the gab. You agree? And I tell you, I can meet millions. I can also do it. I can centralize people. You know? My religion for this, I have no right to do that. I have no right. I have to speak the truth. Who are you? I said, look, I'm an ordinary Muslim. What makes you to come and speak like this? Then look, I've been talking, and I've talked myself into this. Now I become a talker by talking. No other credit. I don't hear voices by God. I don't hear any voice. I don't hear God coming and telling me like some of these guys are claiming. So God comes to me and tells me, Son, again and again, Son, there are beta. My son, that's how you got off to you. I said, what language does he speak to you? I didn't have the chance of asking, what language? He said, Son, he didn't call his own son Jesus. Son, he speaks in the third person. At the baptism, if you remember, in the scripture. So when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the river Jordan, a voice was heard from heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He's not talking to Jesus, but you're my son and I'm well pleased with you. No. He's telling the other people that this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Never spoke to Jesus' son, but now to every son, Dick and Harry, God is now direct communication. So son, so what about this thing? I have a problem, daddy. But he said, look, I cannot tell you. No, in the writing, I cannot tell you. Why can't he tell you? Doesn't he know the answer, this God of yours? Or is it that you are inept? Something wrong with you? Why doesn't he tell you? He said, I cannot tell you. What do you mean he cannot tell you? Well, that is a relationship. Very established a relationship with God. So, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a sentence for him. But now they put it back. So you read the preface. In the preface they tell us that individual and true church denominations out of the 50, individuals, Bible thumpers, have gospelers, preachers, evangelists, they, individuals and true church denominations, they protested that this thing should be put back. Otherwise, we will tell the people, don't buy this RSV, it is too dangerous, these scholars have done damage to our cause, our faith, our belief. So, these four, says the revisers, in the preface they say that these, the longer ending of Mark 9:20 and Luke chapter 24 verse 51, are now restored to the church. Why? Not because God told them so. This is my book. You have no right to explain anything from my book. You have done it, put it back. Well, they put you into hell. Hell is no joke, says Brother Judy Father. No joke. He gives no joke. Gain, the money says. In the meantime, these revivals, they made a net profit of $15 million on the RSV. $15 million. Before they got caught out by these people. Before they could send them to resort. $15 million. Big business. The world's bestseller. And it is the world's bestseller. The Bible. Good money. Big money. So, these are the 50 of them. Christian belief is that is God Almighty. In human form. He is God incarnate. The Muslim says no. God does not incarnate. He doesn't say no. Jesus is not God incarnate, but Muhammad is. Jesus is not the begotten Son of God, but Muhammad is. That Jesus didn't die for people's sins, but Muhammad died. Nothing of the kind. This is a Hindu idea. That God becoming a man. My ancestors, I'm an Indian. Not a red Indian. Brown Indian. An Indian. I was going to put into the reserve. They said, look, we've got a reservation for you. So I don't want any reservation. I come from the East. Really East. My ancestors were Hindu. I'm a new Muslim. From the point of view that 300 to 400 years ago, my ancestors became Muslim. But before becoming Muslim,
He is worshipping Rama as the seventh incarnation of God. He worships Krishna as the eighth incarnation of God. He worships Buddha as the ninth incarnation of God. And he believes in endless incarnation. Because my ancestors, very clever people, they reason. And their reasoning is very good. They say that God Almighty, he's so pure, he's so holy, in absolute holiness, like a holy robo. What does the holy robo know how I feel when I see a beautiful young thing? Even at the age of 16, what does he know how I feel? Does he feel the way I feel? Probably not. Then what right has he to tell me that I shall not corrupt the neighbor's wife? What does he know what he should forget? So to be satisfied, said my ancestors, that God Almighty comes down to earth. He experiences life to know what he's talking about. His holiness, the Pope. You know, his holiness, the Pope, made his pronouncement on the pillar, birth control. You know that they are not so useful, birth control, but you must use a natural cycle, you know, fertile period, infertile period. That is valid, not the pillar. So when you made that pronouncement, some sage remarked that the guy who doesn't play the game, what right has he to lay down the rules? Does the Pope play the games he plays? Does he? Does he? Yeah. So what else has he to tell us about first and infertile period? What do you know how I feel when my needle rises? Similarly, my Hindu ancestors reason. Oh, God Almighty, the city qualified in the coming to earth. And the same God keeps on coming to the world. Again and again, it's the same God, it's only one God. Rama is that God. The same God came as Krishna, the same came as Buddha, the same came as Kalanka Avatar, the same came as Mahatma Gandhi, and on. We are prepared to believe in endless incarnation. Not that the logic is there. The Christian, he will reject this idea. He says, before Jesus, God did not incarnate. After Jesus, he will not incarnate. He is the only incarnation. Only time that God came into the world, he came as Jesus Christ. Not before, not after. The Muslim says that God does not incarnate at all. He doesn't become man. What he does is, he chooses a man from among men, one of us, flesh and blood in all respects. But that person is so finely attuned, he's so sincere to God, that whatever God commands him on a higher spiritual level, that we call revelation. We are like the electromagnetic rays of the spiritual world. God Almighty communicates with them on that level, and they in turn reproduce those messages on our level, sound waves, 600 miles an hour. We call such people prophets of God. They are the mouthpiece of God. They are speaking the words of God, but they are not God. In many ways, that is Jesus, Moses, David, Solomon, Muhammad. They are all the mouthpieces of God. As such, we shall love them, respect them, revere them, follow them, but worship none of them. Worship the one and only God that there is, the Father in heaven. He is the only God. Call him Allah. Call him Jehovah. Call him what you like. As long as the term that you use is not contaminated. That's all. Use any name for him, says the Quran. Call him Rahman. Call him Rahim. Call him by any name. But he says, as long as that name is not contaminated. For example, if I were to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the name of God Almighty in Islam is Muhammad. As soon as I say Muhammad, you think of an Arab, a camel driver. No? Yes. As I say, the name of God Almighty is Krishna. You think of an Aryan in India, a Hindu. As soon as you say his name is Jesus Christ, you think of a Jew, born in the state of a Jewish girl called Mary, circumcised on the eighth day. That's the picture. So any name that conjures up a mental picture of the divinity, God Almighty, is taboo. Don't use that word for God. But call him by any name, as long as the name is not contaminated. That name is not Jesus. It's not Muhammad. It's not Rama. It's not Krishna. Call him Allah. Call him Jehovah. Call him whatever else you will. But don't use these terms for God. So this is the point of real difference between the Muslim and the Christian. Christian says he's God. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. As if he's neither a liar, nor a lunatic, nor a Lord. Means what he claims. He claims to be the heart. He claims to guide his people, to guide us, to guide his people from formalism, from ceremonialism, into righteousness. The whole to be integrated in the truth. He showed them the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
That is for his people.
You want another way? God will not accept it. In the time of Moses, the Jews chose another way, through the golden calf. As a result of that, God said, kill the people. The Jews, the Bani Israel, they were told, kill one another, and they killed 24,000 Jews for worshipping the golden calf. He said, I don't want it. They didn't say the calf is God. He said, we want to worship God through it. I don't want it. I want you to continue direct. But I am your Lord, and I am jealous God. I shall have no other God before me, not even of the likeness of the things on earth, or in the heavens above, or in the waters beneath the sea. For my name is jealous, and I am a jealous God. I want nothing. He said, no, I want it this way. He said, I don't want it. I was listening to a brother. I will end this. I know I have broken so much of your time, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions to ask, so I will give you that opportunity. I end with this example. A living example from America. I was in a hotel room. I can't remember the town because every night they take me to a new town and a new day. And I just can't seem to remember. They can do that, remember, and then yes, this town I remember, but I don't know where. I put on the TV set in my bedroom in the hotel. And I see Brother Jimmy Sala. He's speaking about Babylon. Beautifully done. Very well. He's got a small team of experts around him. His wife, Francis, is also there. Where something happened and he asked something and she responded. Then I saw her. This is on TV. At this was the end of this program, just a couple of days ago. One of the experts on the panel of that program, he says, you know, I've been to Mongolia. Mongolia. You know, around Tibet, that time. Mongolia. And there I visited a Buddhist temple. And I saw the prayer wheel, the wheel, on which, you know, they offer that prayer. So people come along with their requests, with their prayers, written on it, what do they want? You know, I want to get married, I can't get a wife. They look, I'm asking Buddha to provide me with a wife. They look, I have difficulties, I want some money, I want $5,000, you know, to build a new house, I make a request, I put it on. And when the wheel is done, they believe that it is, the prayer is being translated. Very, very sensitive. He transmits messages. He by pressing buttons, they will be by turning the wheel. So, they ask him, what are you doing there? Turning the wheel? He said, no. We are sending out messages to Buddha to hear our prayer. So, Jimmy Sagat, channel expert, he's telling the guide. He said, but you know, said, I have read a lot of books on Buddhism. And Buddha never claimed anywhere he's God. He said, he's some demand. Nowhere does Buddha say, I'm God. None of these books have you ever made such a claim that he is God. He said, yes. But he said, you make him God. You make him God. You didn't say he's God, but you make him God. He said, right. He said, what a mess. Jesus didn't say, I'm God. He didn't say, worship me. Nowhere. He says, come on, teach you how to pray. Pray like this. Oh, our Father, which I can heaven, yours and mine, including Judas, the traitor, is the father of everybody. Oh, our Father, which I can heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Say this to the Father of Jesus, which I can heaven. You don't say, I'm God. You don't say, I'm equal to God. On the contrary, he says, my Father is greater than I. My Father is greater than all. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. He said, I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He said, the word you hear are not mine, but the Father that sent me. He had given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. I got the finger of God passed out there. I by the Spirit of God do these things. He said, all power is given unto me. It's not mine. It's given to me. He said, of that day, knoweth no man. No, not the angels, not the Son, but the Father in heaven. In my knowledge, I'm just like God. In my power, I'm just like God. Everything is given to me by God. Glory be to him. When he performed a miracle, somebody truly remarked in the gospel, he said, glory to God for giving such powers unto men. That is true to you. That is the word of truth. Glory to God for giving such powers unto men.
not to the man, to God. So this is the Muslim church. This is the Muslim understanding of the teachings of Jesus as he sees it in the Bible and he sees it in the Quran. With these words, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very, very grateful to this society here for creating such an opportunity for me to come to you and share with you my thoughts on the subject of Jesus Christ in Christianity and in Islam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
So if you prefer to write their question, or you have a last question, you can submit it. So you can raise your hand and submit it to the ushers. And also, if you need a pencil, the ushers have pencils for you. So we welcome all questions, please.
Okay, now we'll begin with the oral questions, please.
And then right after that, you do the Pharisees, you got to show you the stones, and you can get a glass of it, and you can see all that money. I can't do that.
Shall I repeat my words? I said, nowhere did Jesus ever say, I am God. Nowhere did he say, worship me. That's English. I don't know whether the Americans understand the English the way I understand. I said, he said, nowhere did he say, I am God. Nowhere did he say, worship me. Now, you quote me a verse. He didn't say, I am God, did he? He said, I am. He didn't say, I am God. And let's the English, the language that I'm using. I hope we are... You remember at the beginning I offered a prayer. You know, remove the impediment from my speech. Psychological barriers. You see, I'm thinking something, talking something, you're understanding something else. I said, where he said, I am God. Where he said, worship me. Nothing. So you quoted something else. I will respond. See, I will not brush you off. This is of no consequence. See, this is, they ask him, who is this? In the Garden of Gethsemane. See, they come looking for Jesus. And he's asking him people. Now, you people, who are you looking for? They say, Jesus. He says, I am he, who? God. They were looking for God? No, he says, I am he, who? Jesus, the one you're looking for. If some of your FBI or CIA fellows come along looking for Jesus, so who is Jesus here? I said, I am. What, God? Then I said, I am. No, I am Jesus. So now, if a person is looking for trouble, you see, when he's looking for fault, and the Jews were looking for trouble against Jesus, any excuse, every excuse. So I said something he says, they pick up stone against his soul. Why? Because they claim such and such a thing. You blaspheme. They were always continuously out to get him out, to cut him out, because they didn't like his teaching.
Okay,
Jesus has
been about 9 years.
Normal person, first
time, before Abraham
was, right. So, right. So now, this word I am is from the Old Testament.
Yes.
No. Moses goes to the mount, and when he's convinced to go and liberate his people, he says, he's asking God, he said, look, what shall I say? Who sent you? So he said, look, I am what I am. Ehaye asher ehaye. In Hebrew, that's what he said. Ehaye asher ehaye. Means I am whatever I am. He says, don't bother about who sent you. I sent you. Go, man. What you asking me means. I am.
No, I am.
Please. You see, the questioner, I hope, is going to sit down.
because this is not a debate. You ask a question, I will answer. Please sit down. Please sit down. No, they're in the front seat. There's a chair. Sit down. That's it. You ask a question, I will respond. See? But this is a debate. And debate I had with Jimmy Swagger. You see? We don't want to debate tonight. So, God says, Moses, go, man, go. Ehaye, Asher, Ehaye. I am what I am. What you bothered about who I am? Somebody comes along and says, look, move the mic from here to there. He says, who are you? Since he's in charge of this establishment, he says, look, don't bother about all that. You put that thing there. So who are you? So I am whatever I am. Do the job done. So that word in the Greek translation is ho on. Ho on, I am. In Greek, your Septuagint, you know, the Greek scriptures of the Old Testament, the word there is ho on, means I am. In the New Testament, the Greek word is ego eimi. It's not the same word. Whatever it means in Hebrew or Greek, I don't know. But it's not the same word. Ho on, ego eimi. Then before Abraham was I am. I am before Abraham was. I am. I said, now how was he? Was he with God? I accept he was with God. He was with God. I said, you were also with God. I was also there. Jeremiah tells that. God says, Jeremiah, he says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I made you a prophet to the nations before you went into your mother's womb. Jeremiah. You read that? Jeremiah, God says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I made you a prophet. How? What kind of a prophet is this? Before he goes in his mother's womb, he's a prophet. Was he with God? Of course he was with God. In other words, in the knowledge of God. Jeremiah was there. Jesus was there. Muhammad was there. Hitler was there. Reagan was there. Everybody was there. You, me, everybody. In the knowledge of God. He knew long before, you know, the creation of Adam and Eve, that they will be a knight. This guy Ahmad did that. You know, he'll go on lecture. And you, my son, I don't know your name, but he said, you will come along and you'll be the first question. He knew all that. In his knowledge. But you were not there in this form. I was not there in this form. Jesus was not there in that form. In the knowledge, everything was there. That is the all-knowing God. Long before him, he knows everything. See? So in that sense, Jesus was here with God before Abraham was born in this world. Before historically, chronologically, Abraham came on earth. Jesus was there. In his knowledge, in his plan, he had Jesus there. He had Muhammad there. He had Hitler there. He had Reagan there. Can you see? Before Abraham was born, Reagan was there, Didat was there, everybody was there. How? What form? Shape, type? No. No form, no shape, no type. Knowledge. His self-knowledge. He's omniscient. Do you say that? God Almighty is omniscient. He's all-knowing. If he's all-knowing, he knows. Everything, before and after. It is to us, before, now, and after. In the sight of God, there is no before, now and after. It's all an open book. That is our understanding of the exception. Why the Jews took exception? They were taking exception to everything. You see in John, chapter 10, verse 30. You remember? They took exceptions against the stone. You know why? Because he said, I am the Father, I am one. You read that context and you find it's a series of deliberate misunderstanding. See, when you're looking for trouble, you get it around the corner. You don't have to go very far. You can see anything. Every innocent expression you make, I can find fault with. You know that? Like the word son, is my son. So what do you mean? You knew my mother? I said, no, no, son, I don't mean that. You still call me a son? You know, you can dash me in the jaw. It has happened to me. So in my country, which is a country, you know, full of color separation, apartheid. I'm traveling in a bus, Pullman bus. I don't know if you have things like that here. From the North Coast where I got married and I'm coming to Durban, you know, where I live and I work. After a weekend, I am returning, I'm sitting in the bus. And while this bus is passing now through Durban, the city where I live, and I can see that it's going to the central station, but it passes Alice Street where I work. So I walk up to the driver, and I ask him, excuse me, brother, does this bus stop anywhere near Alice Street? Please show that I can pull the string and nearer
to get to work himself, going to the station and then walking back 2 miles. If it is stopping anywhere near Alice Street, the park in Alice Street, I'm a perfect. So he said, no.
It's not like a bus.
No. I said, maybe sometimes, you know, reading speech with jokes, unintentionally. You know, I speak a bit too loud and I didn't mean it. See? No. I'm going to bed. On my feet. So he takes me to the central station. No alternative. By hydraulic, the doors are open. I get down, I'm still holding the rail. One leg on the ground, and the leg is other one on the cylinder. And that's on the platform. So he leaves this steering and he rushes to me. He says, don't you call me your brother. You call the police your brother. What happened? I'm fine. I don't know what's going on. He says, don't you call me your brother. Call the police your brother. I encountered with the police. Police means the laborers. You see, some of my people, they have gone to South Africa as laborers. So they divide the people into Africans. They call them cattle, colored. Colors are mixed between black and white. They call them hot nuts, hot and tot, Bushman. I'm a coolie, whether Hindu, Muslim or Christian. So he says, call me your brother, call those coolies your brother. But I said, hey, what happened? You know, it's so sudden, I didn't mean anything. You know what he thought? He thought that I insinuated that my father had something to do with his mother. Is that what I mean when I say my brother, my son? No, he took it that way. And I'm saying, if he had a gun, he would have shot me. My God, fortunately, he didn't have one. So this is, if you're looking for trouble, innocent expression. He was a brother, I do. He said, you're still calling up my brother? You know, he said, I find you, you know that? So, now it's over, the history, honorable history, I do. However, the next step. I pray for you.
One question at a time, please. And we will take the written questions afterwards. You can ask any questions you want.
You see, the gospel do speak about Jesus preaching the gospel. The gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will read in them expressions like these, and Jesus went to a certain place and he preached the gospel. Mark says, Jesus went to a certain other place and he preached the gospel. Luke says, he went to a certain other place and he preached the gospel. Luke says, John says that he went to a certain place and he preached the gospel. Gospel, 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 gospel. Now, you believe in that gospel. The word translated gospel in the Arabic is Injil. You believe in the Injil. But there was this revelation God Almighty gave to Jesus. What he preached was from God. No doubt about that. But I'm asking my Christian learned brothers, I said, look, when he preached the gospel, did he have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Galatians, Corinthians under his arm? A book? No, he didn't have any books with him. There was no Matthew, book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, nothing was there. So what did he preach? What he preached was the gospel. His message was the gospel. What you have now in these books here are called the gospel according to Saint Matthew. The gospel according to Saint Mark, the gospel according to Saint Luke, the gospel according to Saint John, according. I'm asking why according to? I read little book here. Yeah, here's one. Crucifixion of Crucifixion by Ahmad Didat. Is the Bible God's word? Ahmad Didat. Is not according to Ahmad Didat. This is not according to Ahmad Didat. This is Ahmad Didat. You read Brother Jimmy Swaggart's book. It's by Jimmy Swaggart. By Jimmy Swaggart. It's not according to Jimmy Swaggart. Why according to Matthew? According to Mark? According to Luke? According to John? Why according? You know why? Because none of them sign their name. They are anonymous books. This is what you assume that Matthew wrote. This is what you assume Mark wrote. This is what you assume Luke wrote. This is what you assume that John wrote. Therefore, according.
Now, this translations into Arabic. We have the Arabic Bible printed by the Christians, by the Bible Society. And they named their book in Arabic. It says, Injile Matthew.
In the Injil of the Gospel of Matthew.
Injil. Injile Matthew. Injile Marcus. Injile Lucas. Injile Yohanna. I said, we believe in the Injile Isa. Isa means Jesus. We believe in the Injil, the Gospel of Jesus. Have you got Injile Isa? We will approve it. We will accept it. If there is such a thing, there isn't. Jesus Christ never wrote a word in his life. He never asked anybody to write a word in his life. Not a word was written in his life. Not one word was written in his lifetime. Here is the book. So we believe. So we believe in the principle that God inspired. He said, whatever he said was true. There are some of his words still preserved in the Bible. Like, for example, and this is life eternal, Jesus said, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Do Muslims accept that? Of course. That there is only one true God, it's a la ilaha illallah, in the time of Jesus and Isa Rasulullah. This is the messenger of God. We believe. But now, if that is what the message, the whole message that he brought, is not there. Matthew, you will bring right Matthew. Matthew. You see, J.B. Phillips, a prebendary of the Chichester Cathedral in England, a faith stone of the Anglican Church, he translates the Gospels in the modern English. You can buy his book, I don't know whether you can buy it in America, it's common all over the other English world. The Gospels in modern English by J.B. Phillips. J.B. Phillips, in his preface to the Gospel of Matthew, he says, early tradition ascribed this Gospel to the Apostle Matthew. That's what people say. But scholars nowadays almost all reject this view. What? Muslim scholars? Jewish scholars? Hindu scholars? No. Christian scholars. They reject the view that Matthew wrote Matthew. The author, whom you may still conveniently call Matthew, for example, I said Matthew 9:9, instead of saying the first book of the New Testament, chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew 5:17, instead of saying the first book of the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 17. Conveniently, I must use the word Matthew instead of wasting your time and my time. So the author, whom we may still conveniently call Matthew, has plainly drawn on the mysterious C in inverted comma. He stands for the German word Quella, prophet, mysterious prophet. He says, it may have been oral tradition. He has used Mark's gospel freely. In the language of the school teacher, he was copying wholesale from Mark. Matthew and Luke have copied 85% adverbatim from Mark. And Mark was a 10-year-old boy when Jesus walked this earth. He was a 10-year-old boy, a school boy. Imagine an eyewitness and a ear witness, a disciple of Jesus. He called, goes and copies a boy 10-year-old who wasn't there. Does it make sense to you? He's copying adverbatim, word for word, Luke and Matthew, 85% copied word for word from Mark. And Mark was not there. This is the status of the book. I hope I've answered the question.
We'll have these two questions, and then I would like to read a few of the written questions, and then if there are more people who would like to come down, they're welcome to come down.
Well, the common belief is that in the Christian tradition, especially why everyone is fully body and regarded as the technical topic, the history of salvation based on the belief in a long 13-day based on the belief in Jesus Christ.
If what you said is correct, that the Christian belief is in believing Jesus as the Christ, we have the salvation. Because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that. But no, I think you fail to say that you believe that he died for your sins, that he paid the price. Your salvation is got through the blood of Christ. That he takes the supreme sacrifice with his life. I think that is what you have in mind. Now, that topic, that subject, while I was reading the index, if you remember, I said, Jesus not crucified is another topic. I had debates with Christian evangelists, Americans,
evangelist on this topic, like Professor Floyd Clark from Johnson Bible College. I had a debate with him in the Royal Albert Hall, London, last year. I had another Professor Simpson, also an American, who came to South Africa. We debated with him, was Christ crucified, as well as with Jesus God. How about the crucifixion? So he says Jesus Christ was not killed, nor was he crucified. This was the subject of debate last night with Dr. Robert Douglas of the Zerner Institute. He's the director of the Zerner Institute, a missionary organization in this country. I had a debate with him last night. And I think the tape, as well as the video tape, are available. You can avail yourself of it. How does a Muslim get salvation? It is, to Muslim there's only one way. And the way is for all eternity the same. There is no change. God is not the author of confusion. He wouldn't tell Moses something, and he'd give something contradictory to Jesus, and again something to contradict him to Muhammad. If it is all coming from the same source, the message must be the same. His law is eternal, and it is not changeable. He doesn't change his laws by the minute. He says one system, then he says another system. That is not my God. He doesn't fail you this system. He gave to Moses and to the children of Israel a law. The law was that as you sow, so you will reap. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, we are given that in a nutshell, which is truly Islamic. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Christian puts a full stop. All his literature, his evangelical literature, he stops there, puts a full stop where there's no full stop. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Father Adam, his sin. We, his children, are not responsible for what he did. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. Six sons today, in Los Angeles, last June, the previous June, 300,000 sodomites, whom we call gays, they gathered in San Francisco on a pilgrimage, led by 60 lesbians on motorcycles. Here in San Francisco, in your country, God Almighty will not ask Adam, say, hey, look at your children, this rubbish. What have you produced? No, God will not ask him. He's not responsible. This is the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. Whatever good thing the good man does, he gets his reward. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Whatever the evil monger does, sinner does, he gets his punishment. Salvation. How do you get salvation? It continues. Work continues. But if the wicked will turn, will repent from all the sins that he has committed and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Sinner. Physically, we all die. The good and the bad. The sinner and the saint, we all die. But this guy means spiritually, will not be destroyed. He will live forever. That is salvation. You repent of your evil, do that which is lawful and right. Whatever God told you to do, you do. Heaven is for you. Solomon the wise, he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, advising his son and through him advising us. He says, and further, by this my son be admonished. Learn a lesson from this. Of making many books, there is no end. All your excuses for not doing the job, not doing the work, not obeying God. There's no end to your excuses. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. You know, you say, I'm going to study Buddhism, I'm going to study Taoism, I'm going to study Judaism, I'm going to study Islamism, and I will come to a conclusion. But you will get tired. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter in a nutshell. Let's get the message. Just fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's all. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is salvation. Jesus Christ told you the same. He says, very, verily I say unto you, most certainly I'm telling you this. Accept your righteousness. Exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. You shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There is no heaven for you unless you are better than the Jews. Except is exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, he shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He said again, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am come not to destroy but to fulfill. So verily I say unto you, most certainly I am telling you, heaven and earth shall pass away, but one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Different. just what is the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Not even that amount is to go out of the law of God. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law will all be fulfilled. Whosoever dares or shall break one of these least commandments, as a teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall teach and do, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we teach and I ask you, do you keep the laws and the commandments? You say no. I say, why not? He says, the law is nailed to the cross. Why not? He says, we are living under grace. That's what the teaching says. You're living under grace. I said, where did you get this? This idea that the law is nailed to the cross, then I will get it. Where did you get it? The very first, the Philippians, Galatians, Corinthians, Thessalonians, Colossians, Jesus, Timothy, Romans, what is this? Who is that? The Paul. I said, who's your master? He said, Jesus. What does he say? He contradicted Jesus. And Jesus said, the disciple is not greater than the master. Master is Jesus. What he said, I said, I listen to my master, Jesus. He never had the pig. None of his disciples ever touched that pork. You call it pork, ham, bacon, whatever you call it. He never touched that stuff. None of his disciples ever touched it. And you are also Jesus. Question. Where did you get this? He said, Peter had a dream. On that dream, now you eat it. When my master never had it, he wouldn't eat it. He was at the horn game. He killed 2,000 pigs. One hit, he destroyed them all. You know that? But now you don't listen to him. You are now living in the grave. I said, are you circumcised? He says, no. I said, why aren't you? It's a major commandment. God gave it. You are Lord of Christ, Jesus Christ. But circumcised. I said, what is good for your God should be good for you. No, you won't circumcise. Why won't you? This is the law of God. He entered into it between Abraham and his descendants forever. And you came to be spiritual descendants. How does that absolve you? He said, Jesus was circumcised and you are not. He said, no. He said, Paul said, circumcision is nothing and non-circumcision is nothing. I said, Jesus said, not even one jot or one tittle is to pass from the law. Can't you see? We are not following Jesus. We are following Paul. He is the real founder of Christianity. Paul, not Jesus. Therefore, your great countryman, Michael S. Hart, he wrote a book on the top 100, the greatest 100 in history, the most influential 100 people from Adam to current time. And he gives us a list. The 100, the top 100, are the greatest 100 in history. Michael S. Hart, New York, at the Hart Publishing Company. And in that list of the most influential men, after giving the list of 100 names, he puts them in the order of seniority. Number one, number five, number 50, number 99, who? He said, Muhammad number one. The most influential man in history, according to Michael S. Hart, an American, in America, publishing a book of 572 pages, retailing about 10 years ago for $15, which I paid for it, maybe past 50 today, I don't know. He says, Muhammad is the most influential man in history. And his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, number three. His God and Savior, number three. And his degree. Not because some Arab bribed him. So here's 10,000 for you. Say a good word about Muhammad. Put him number one. You give 100,000, put him number one in your book. No. No Arab could ever think of that. It's possible but not probable for an Arab to do that. Why does he put Jesus Christ as God and Savior number three? He said, you see, the honor for Christianity is to be shared between Paul and Jesus. Actually, Paul is the real founder of Christianity. Follow Jesus, listen to him, you can't help being a Muslim. You'll be a Muslim through and through. But you don't want to listen to Jesus. Read the book. Listen to the sermon. It's Paul, not Jesus. What did Jesus say? He says, he is not of me who does not take his cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. But the cowards that we are, we are not prepared to pick up the cross.
I'm saying from the students that heard about this one that going to the inner students is certainly going to be a lot of work for the way you're going to be working. In the first meeting, the first that we were going to be on the way that we were going to be on the way.
With regard to the crucifixion, the Quran is very explicit. Very explicit. It says, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ إِسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that they said in both that we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the apostle of God. In answer to that, God says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ, that they didn't kill him and they didn't crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, but it was made to appear to them so. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُمْ, and those who withstood therein are full of doubt, مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, they have no certain knowledge, إِلَّا تِبَى ظَنْ, they only follow conjecture, guesswork. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, for a surety they killed him not. That's the Muslim position. We say, آمَنَّا صَدَّقْنَا, we hear and we are sorry. But now, my sister says, look, we have a record. The Christian says, we have a written record. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these 27 books of the New Testament, and we have hundreds of prophecies fulfilling this event. My response is, I said, look, my brothers and sisters, you are reading this book, the Bible, in your own mother tongue. And I'm claiming that you are understanding the exact opposite of what you're reading. Not just misunderstanding. We can have a lot of misunderstandings, but exact opposite. If you read in the Bible, for example, that thou shalt not commit adultery, you are understanding that thou shalt commit adultery. Now how can we such envy? What do you take it for? You know, we are the people that are on the moon. You know, you've got the whole world in the palm of our hands. You have. The Bay of Bengal tragedy. See, America warned Pakistan. So look, the tidal waves are coming. Be on guard. They didn't hit the warning, the thing. My people, they didn't hit the warning. Hundreds of thousands more people died. They warned the Jews in 1973 that the Arabs are on the move. They didn't hit the warning. So you know the Arabs. Every time they want to do anything, they make a big noise beforehand. So then you will do this and you will do that, and by then you shall give it to them. If they didn't hit the warning. First time the Arabs fought the Jews off guard. They broke the barrier line. First time they took the initiative. Because they didn't hit the American warning. You got the whole world in the palm of your hand. And yet this same nation, he's reading the book in his own mother tongue and he's understanding the exact opposite of what you're reading. This is not just a charge and allegation. I prove it to you in 2 minutes. I said, you know, Jesus returned to that upper room after his elect crucifixion, where they had the Last Supper. Those of you who know your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. He goes in and he reaches his disciples in the Hebrew language, Salam Aleichem. It means, saying Salam Aleichem in Arabic. Peace be unto you. And when he said, peace be unto you, his disciples were terrified. So I'm asking, why were they terrified? Because when you meet your long-lost master, your uncle, your grandfather, the Arab and the Jew, we embrace one another, we kiss one another. I felt very funny the first time the Arab visited me. But I'm getting used to it now. You see? I said, that's what the Jews did 2,000 years ago, and the Arabs did 2,000 years ago. Instead of doing that, they're terrified. I said, why were they terrified? So the man knows his Bible. He said, look, Luke chapter 24, verse 36, he tells us that they were affrighted because he thought he was a spirit. Is that the answer? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Luke says, they thought he was a spirit. So I said, did you look like a spirit? And by now, for 40 years I'm talking, not one Christian has ever told me yes. If you did, if you do, I said, what does a spirit look like? You look like a spirit. What does a spirit look like? Tell me that. No. Everybody told me. He didn't. And I said, why should they think the man is a spirit when he didn't look like one? Puzzle. So I said, you see, the reason is that the disciples of Jesus, they had heard from hearsay people talking that the master was hanged on the cross. They had heard from hearsay people were talking that he had given us the ghost, you know, the spirit had come out, he had died. They had heard from hearsay that now he's dead and buried for 3 days. All the knowledge was from hearsay, people talking. Because they were not eyewitnesses or your witnesses to the happening. Because Mark chapter 14, verse 50, he tells us that at the most critical juncture in the life of Jesus, all his disciples forsook him and fled. All. I said, does all mean all in your language in English, man? They were. But they were not there. All the knowledge is from hearsay. And hearsay knowledge is you heard about a man. Your master, who's dead and buried for 3 days, you expect him to be sinking in his grave. Such a person, when you see, naturally you're terrified. You think he's a ghost. He's a spirit. So Jesus wants to assure him that they're not what they're thinking. So he says, انظروا إلى يدي ورجلي. So behold my hands and my feet. إني أنا هو. That it is I myself. كسوني وانظروا. So handle me and see. فإن الروح ليس له لحم ولا دم. But a spirit has no certain bone, as you see with us. Handle me and see. A spirit has no flesh and bone. A spirit, in any spirit, is an indefinite article. In your language, any spirit. And this is an axiomatic truth. You don't have to cling to the atheist, the agnostic, the Hindu, the Jew, the Muslim. Universally, we say a spirit has no flesh and bone. If you got flesh and bones, you are not a spirit. No convincing replies. Why does he go out of his way to tell them? Because they are thinking that he is. He said, the spirit has no flesh and bones, as you see we have. And they say, sir, and they believe him for joy, meaning that they were overjoyed and wondered, what happened, man? You thought the man was dead and buried. He assured them further that they are wrong in their understanding. He said, أَيْنَّكُمْ هَهُنَا تَعَامُ. Have you got here anything to eat? فَنَاوَلُوهُ جُزْءًا مِّنْ صَمَتٍ وَشَيْءٍ مِّنْ شَهَدِ عَسَلٍ فَأَخَذَا وَأَطَلَا فِي الدَّامَحِ. And they gave a piece of bread, and a honeycomb, and he took it, and he asked in the very sight, to prove what? That he's a goat, that he's food, he's spirit, he's resurrected. Yeah. And you say, follow me, damn fools, what are you afraid of me for? Handle me and see. And look at the oath, crucifixion again. He's ever in disguise, ever in disguise. His own disciples can't recognize him on the way to Emmaus. Ever in disguise, he never went to the temple of Jerusalem. He never went and showed them, come here I am. He gave a sign to the Jews, the sign of Jonah, that I will be like Jonah, and I'm reasoning with the people. That was the sign of Jonah. Look, it's another topic. I dealt with it last night. It's Professor Douglas. Get the videotape, and I have dealt with it more extensively. Or get this book, absolutely free. Crucifixion or Crucifixion. Sounds the same, but it is not. Have a look. Crucifixion, the first fiction is F-I-S-I-O-N. To fix up a person on the cross and kill him. That's crucifixion. The second is cruci, F-I-C-T-I-O-N, fiction. Means the fairy tale. The Quran says, إِلَّا كِبَاكْزَنْ. The only following conjecture. Just to a fiction. Now, prove it to you from the Bible. I give 60 different reasons from the Bible that Jesus Christ was neither killed nor crucified. It must be big enough. Men enough to read it, women enough to read it, and then come back to me. Tell you in your own language, as if somebody has made zombies out of you. You read something, and you understand something else. You read there again and again. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. It says, and he gave many convincing proofs, Jesus, many convincing proofs, that he was alive. A-L-I-V-E, alive. That's the word there. He was alive. Mary Magdalene, after her experience with Jesus, she returned and told the others that he is alive, A-L-I-V-E, alive, and they believe not. The two from Emmaus, returned to that upper room, telling the others that he is alive, and they believe not. These 8 or 10, telling Thomas, he wasn't there at the first meeting, telling Jesus is alive, and he believe not. By God, I don't know what they're reading. In English, A-L-I-V-E, alive, A-L-I-V-E, alive, not resurrected, not resurrected, not alive, 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 alive. And you say resurrected, resurrected, resurrected. You concoct a word which is not there, and then you concoct it. And then you want the whole world to concoct it as well. Okay, there's something wrong. Somebody has made zombies out of you. In your own mother tongue, come, talk to me. Bring your Jerry Falwell, and your Pat Robertson, and who else is there? Billy Graham, and Gene Sagar. Bring them. Having told deeply in the United States on topics like, is the Bible God's word? Is God Christ crucified? Is Jesus God? And I'm prepared to pay any one of these $10,000 per performance, just 1 hour. In Madison Square Garden, I give you $10,000. And I will organize a meeting. We need 4 meetings like that in the United States. Let the country know, these 240 million people, that look, you are being led by the nose by somebody. That somebody is not God.
Thank you very much. I'm going to read a couple of the questions, the written questions. The first question, or actually a lot of comments, comes from Father William Carr,
who says, thank you for pointing out many things that I teach in my class, what Catholics believe. He says, to be brief, we do not believe that the English Bible or any other translation is inspired by God, but only the original in the original languages. And then he goes on to say, thank you for showing the church comes before the Bible, and that the teaching of Trinity was taught by the church, and then that interpretation was put into 1 John. And I guess the question is, I guess he wants your comment on this idea.
The comment is part of another lecture. You see, so many things, so many points have been raised, that dealing with that, you won't be able to touch anything else. Therefore, you see, this was a more manly approach. You say, look, this is my question, what have you to say? It's the church. Now, if the church is telling you what to believe, so you have a preconceived notion. Long before you start now, this is what the church says. So you read into the book what is not there. Jesus said, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. This is the situation. You are already programmed to see certain things. You are reading into the book something that is not there. The only way you come out with it is, look, he said, I am. What do you say now? He said, I and my Father are one. What do you say to that? He said, I am the way, the truth. What do you say to that? That is a better way. Then you write a small thesis, and now I have to answer that. It calls for another lecture, and I think at this age, this is a bit too much for me. Please forgive me for that.
The next question, I'm sorry, I can't read all the questions. It says, do you have a spirit? And then it says, do you have a soul? And please explain this. And does your spirit lead you, or does God lead you? Does he communicate with you, or does the Quran tell you what to say and what to do?
In a nutshell, the Quran tells me what I should say and what I should do. You believe in spirit? Otherwise, I won't be here. There is a soul, spirit, call it what you like. There is something in man which is immaterial, which is intangible. You believe in that. And that somebody, that something is the real you. He is the driver of the motor car, this vehicle. And that somebody will be made responsible for every act that you do. And you believe in a life hereafter, then you have to account for your deeds. You say life hereafter, we believe in heaven and hell. There is heaven and there is hell. And exactly as Jimmy Swaggart says, it is hell is no joke. The Quran gives us 41 different references. Hell is no joke, hell is no joke, hell is no joke. Perhaps he has been reading the Quran, and he's done a beautiful job, beautiful lecture. I haven't heard a Muslim lecture said so potently on the subject of heaven. Hell is no joke. But you have a look at this in the Quran, under the subject. Hell in the index, check them up, and you see that really what is believed there, what Jesus says, I said, is imputed from this to what God Almighty is telling you here. Thank you.
We have two questions with the same idea, which say, what happened to your debate with the Pope?
No, I had no debate with the Pope. No debate. What did happen is that His Holiness, the Pope, you see, when he went to Turkey, he made a pronouncement that we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. Then he went to Kenya, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. When he went to Nigeria, he said, we must have a dialogue with the Muslims. Now who is this we? We. We. This is the Roman Catholic Church. They want to have a dialogue with the Muslims. Actually, he didn't mean that. I knew it all along. It's not a dialogue that he wants to come and talk to us. No. He's telling his people, go and convert the Muslims. If he uses the word convert, the Muslim reacts strongly. So if the man comes along with his dog collar, you know, collar from upside down, knocks at the door, he knows now what he will come for, to steal our children, to get rid of him somehow, get rid of him. But if he says, let us have a dialogue, the Muslims can't say no, because the Quran says he'll have a dialogue with him. The Quran says, call, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book, ta'alaw, come. Ahl al-Kitab, people of the book, meaning Jews and Christians, ta'alaw, come. إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم that become the common terms as between us and you. And the terms of getting together, the Quran lays down, this is أن لا نعبد إلا الله, that we worship none but Allah, وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا and that we associate no partners with him, وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضٌ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دِينِ اللَّهِ and that we do not take from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah, other than God. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلُوا شَهِدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ that is different that, tell them that we are Muslims. We have submitted our wills to the will of God. Whatever God wants us to do, we have to do. That is what the Quran says, come, let us have a dialogue. His Holiness says, let us have a dialogue. But he doesn't mean a dialogue. So I write a letter to him. His Holiness, with all respect, I say, Your Holiness, these are your pronouncements, and the Quran tells us also to have a dialogue. We would like to have a dialogue with you. In St. Peter's in Rome. Any day, time, you tell us, I will come over. No reply. So I send another letter. No reply. Then I send a telegram. No reply. I send another telegram. So I get the response that he is prepared to receive me in the secretariat, in private. So I said, no, this is not a matter between Ahmad Bidad and Holiness the Pope. It's a matter between Islam and Christianity. There are 1,000 million Muslims on the one side, 1,200 million Christians on the other side. The whole world wants to know what you're talking about. It's not a cup of tea that I have with the Pope, and he embraces me and wants to kiss my hand. And then he wants to kiss my cheek. So I stop him from doing that. So I come and tell you, says, you know, I went there in his holiness, you know, he embraced me, he kissed my hand, he wants to kiss my cheek. I didn't allow him to do that. And I shared with him, you know, he shared with me some tea and biscuits, and he gave me this Bible in a few days. What does it mean? It means to be useless. That is fact. The world must know what you're talking about. The Quran tells you to have a dialogue with him. So I'm asking him, how big is your secretariat? Because there are 3 plane loads of youth from my country. They have been grounded in Cape Town. They want to charter planes. My brethren in the Middle East, they want to charter planes. My brethren in the UK, they want to come along to the meeting. And the whole world wants to know. The TV networks of the world will want to cover it. The news media of the world will want to cover it. How do you get secretariat? No reply. Another one. How do you get secretariat? No reply. Telegram, no reply. Then somebody, this somebody, God Almighty, he activates people. He does things in mysterious ways. He sends me the pamphlet here. He had it in the box in the van. The pamphlet about the Pope. You didn't bring it inside? Yeah? Exit. Oh, there it is. Let me have it, please. Take it. Just pass it off. Thank you. The Chinese have a saying, one picture is worth 10,000 words. If I told you, said, you see, somebody send me a picture of His Holiness, being like this, you say, what are you talking about? Now you're making a mockery of His Holiness. I said, no, there is the picture. It's a picture, genuine picture. Look what His Holiness is doing. Look. He's playing hide and seek. Look at it. As if from heaven, the Archangel Gabriel, the Holy Ghost, couldn't have delivered a better message to me. Then they tell me, so look, the man is saying hide and seek with the Muslim. So I take this out. He's saying hide and seek. If you think of a better captain, you tell me, I give you a reward. I lost a bet with Jimmy Swaggart the other night. I lost a bet with him, you see. But I won the debate. That's what I claim. I lost a bet. I lost $100 with him. I bet, you know, and I lost. But here, I said, look, I'm prepared to give you. Give me a better captain, and I'll give you $100. A better captain than this, for this picture. Give me a better captain. The Americans are very good at giving captains. Good thing. So, he's actually saying, I don't see the Muslim. He doesn't mean a debate. He's telling his people to go and convert them. And in that dialogue, we will come out second best. Because my people are not trained. These are all trained men. So he said, let us talk in public. He has differences. He says, Jesus is not God. He says, he is. Let's talk about it. Let the world know. And let them get for themselves your truth life. We are big enough today. Not like in the good old days, people are pulling out a dagger. I disagree with you, so I'm going to put a knife through you. You disagree with me, you're going to put a knife through me. No, we are so big. Look at us. I'm speaking the most sensitive subject from the time I arrived in the United States on the 31st of October. Most sensitive topic. And nobody has shouted me down. Nobody has caught me as a matter in all my life. No Christian or Jew has held me like this. Nobody. And yet I'm talking the most sensitive topic. Either I'm a Superman, you know, angel, or that you people are so fallen and good and kind. You are prepared to give me a hearing. He is going against your brain. He says, look, I agree to disagree with you. And I salute you for that.
you give me that opportunity to talk to. So with His Holiness, it was not a debate, it was a suggestion for a dialogue, and He didn't want to respond because He didn't really mean it.
I apologize that there's not a lot of time left. Maybe we have time for just one more question.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you can have the last two then, okay? Okay.
Are you afraid of losing freedom by any of these events? Have they also worked for the same time? In Russia, are you afraid that Jesus did not strive, did not work on the freedom of the country and also the land?
That's correct. But Jesus Christ never wrote a word. He didn't instruct anybody to write a word. And not a word was written in His lifetime. I said in His lifetime. That means lifetime means while He walked this earth. If somebody sees a dream, for its reason, a dream is not walking in His, I said in His lifetime. Before His crucifixion, did He tell anybody to write a word? Did he tell Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, did He commission anybody? Was a word written in His lifetime? A word? No. You see, you read the internal evidence that says that Matthew even writes Matthew. You know Matthew 9:9. You know what it says? So it's not a matter of belief, my son. It's a matter of fact. The fact is, look, in His lifetime, that means while the man walked this earth, not He didn't ask anybody, nor did anybody write a word. That's as long as said of it. Now, afterwards, somebody sees a dream. Did Matthew see a dream? Did Luke see a dream? No. Luke tells you why he wrote. You know, he tells you. Why did he write? He says, you know, he sees a lot of people have written a lot of things concerning the faith that we are preaching. So, if having had perfect understanding from the very first, if seeing the good in you also, these other guys, less educated than I, if they can write books, if they can write volumes, why can't I? I'm a physician, I can do a better job, I can do things more systematically. So he said, listen to the word, with your language. He said, it seemed good to me also. Revelation is a bit of dream. You know, you read there, after a man has written so much, when you read so much, you know, you have the type of things that go through your mind. He sees a beast with seven horns, and every horn with 100 eyes, with the eyes outside and the eyes inside. Who sees dreams like that? Man, you know, when he's eating too much of protein. For this opportunity, and I do take off my hat to the American nation for giving me this freedom, this latitude to air my point of view. You allow Father Divine to propagate your faith and people will worship Him. Sun, Yung, Moon, Guru Maharaj, Maharaj, Maharishi, and the whole lot. People who worship Satan in your country. Now when I say you have a Satan worshiping cult, now you consider that as an attack on your country. Am I attacking your country? I said, look, this is a fact.
those 300,000 sodomites that gathered in San Francisco, I'm not attacking your religion, I'm not attacking your nation. I said, look, there is a sickness here. You need Sagat, you allow him to tell you that there are 11 million drunkards in America. If I said that, you say you're attacking my nation. He says there are 44 million heavy drinkers in your nation. Put together, and he says, I make no distinction between the two. That there's 65 million drunkards, according to Jimmy Sagat. He's not attacking. He's not. He says, incest, but I said, look on incest, has reached epidemic proportions in your country. No, he's not attacking your country. He's not attacking your religion. He says about the preachers, the book on preachers. He says, the preachers, I go to a bank. He says, in his book on the preacher. He goes to the bank and the manager wants to know from him. He says, whether he knows who are the worst payers. So Jimmy Sagat, in humility, he says, no, I don't. He says, there are three C's. Three C's. Three C's. So what are they? This is preacher, painter, and prostitute. These three C's. I won't say it. And Jimmy Sagat says, he said, look, I don't know about the painters and the prostitutes, but I know about preachers. The man is preaching the truth. Am I attacking your nation, your religion, your country? What am I doing? When the same incest, academic, Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality, this is what it has done. He's saying in his book on homosexuality, you know, this filthy baby thing you call gay, sodomite, they call them gay. He says, America, he says, it's time that God would judge you. If he doesn't judge you, he says, you might have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. What is it? Attacking your religion? Is he your enemy? Jimmy Sagat is your enemy? Now, if he is, I'm also your enemy. I'm telling you the very same thing. I said, look, these are sicknesses you have in your nation. And I'm prepared to help you. I want to help you. If the person is out there, help you. He's giving beautiful answers, beautiful books he has written on homosexuality, its cause, and its cure. Beautiful work. And he quotes 2.5 pages from the book of Romans, 2.5, first page, whole page quotation. Continuation, second page quotation. Third one, half quotation. And in that the answer is given. The answer to your problem is given. Why you have these lesbians and why you have these gays. It's given in that quotation. But you read the whole book. I'm not attacking Sagat now. I love him like that. I tell you, I love him and his wife. Fantastic people. I met them personally. He invited me for lunch. Unfortunately, I couldn't take advantage. Great man. His wife, great man. Morning, good person. He writes the whole book. But the cause that God gives you, if it is the word of God, he doesn't reproduce it at all. The cause, he says, it's cause and it's cure. I'll give you the cause, what he missed out. You read the book and you see he missed out. I don't know how. An Englishman, English-speaking person, American, how he missed out. Cause is cause. It says, that quotation, of it. It says, professing themselves to be wise. That's what man does. Everybody who is speaking yesterday, he thinks he's very clever. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like that of the corruptible man. And who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship that creature and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who be glorified forever and ever. For this cause I made your women to go after women and your men to go after men. For this cause you change the glory of the Almighty God, the eternal immortal God, into that of an image of a man. Image of a man is telling you of a man, perishable man. Whether it's a Moses or a Jesus or a Muhammad, whether it's a Rama or a Krishna or a Buddha, image of a man. But when Paul was writing that, he wasn't thinking about Jesus. He was thinking about the Romans and the Greeks. They had their names of John Titan. You remember? Jupiter, the god of heaven. Pluto, the god of hell. Vulcan, the god of fire. Neptune, the god of the sea. Mars, the god of war. And Jesus was the father of all these gods with his many wives and many children. He was sitting on some planet. And from there he was sending his sons into the world. His Apollo, his Horus, his Isis, his Osiris. And when such a people goes an idea of a new son of God, Jesus. So what was metaphorical to the Jew became little to the Greek, and they started worshiping Christ. Image of a perishable man. Wasn't he like a man? Circumcised on the 8th day, eating food, hungering, thirsting, wearing, sleeping.
That's what the Bible describes it. Man, you worship him as God. Do you do that? He says, for this cause. That is the cause. You need to say, you didn't understand that English? For this cause I make you do this. As a punishment. So worshiping man, you bring down the Almighty to this level, you go down to that second. I know. My brother, forgive me. This is my way of talking. You think this is my nature. I'm not the one who's been through the university corridors, you know, to go and find out all the findings of talking. I haven't. I'm a layman, a political salesman. I'm studying about religion. So if I sound hard and strong, this is something that I can't help. But my God, I don't want to attack the American nation, nor his religion. And I think you asked a question at the end about salvation, I think. Oh, yes, you can do the same thing in my country. My country gives you total freedom. In my country, I enjoy a freedom second to none in the world. Here, this book here, Crucifixion of Crucifixion. It went through the fire of hell twice, and it came out unscathed. The country to bore. I don't want to belabor later, you all, but my country, I have a freedom of religion which is second to none in the world. So, this is what I'm doing.
Thank you much, Brother Didat, and thanks, ladies and gentlemen, for the wonderful reception. Brother Didat has come from a very long distance to talk to you, and we appreciate the wonderful reception you've given him. Thank you very much.